Well, this is a little bit nerve-wracking, I have to say. The last time I shared a message, the crowd was about 100 times smaller. Literally, I was in a classroom and there was two other people. But before I get into the message, I'd just like to share a little bit about what we've been up to lately. Right after high school, I took off for Bible college out in Nipawin, Saskatchewan. And I did 2 years of Bible school there, which were great years. God really taught me a lot in that time. And right after that, I got married to Valine Weeb, now Dirksen, obviously. And we worked here for a year, and then we went back to Nipawin for some more Bible training. And in this last year, God has been teaching me a whole lot about trust, about that I can trust Him, that He is faithful, and I need to offer up my life to Him. And so, part of my third year at Bible school, I needed to do an internship. So I came out to CIM, and I've been helping out there for the summer. I've been with Kevin, helping at the radio, and I was going to share a bit about what I've been up to there. The church has been very faithful and generous in supporting Valine and I this summer, so we're very grateful for that, thankful for prayers as well, and we've been learning a whole lot. I think about 7 or 8 different computer programs that I've had to take crash courses in this year, learning how to do different things like video editing, editing audio things, how to do programming to get things going daily on the radio. It's been a pretty steep learning curve, but it's been a blessing at the same time. And I got to go to YC with the crew from CIM, and we got to interview a whole bunch of big name artists, more popular with youth, I guess, like Skillet and Hawk Nelson, different groups like that. And it was kind of nerve-wracking for me to be there, but at the same time, God really showed me that even though these people are famous, that they are still just servants of God, that they are normal people. They're not so different from you and I. So that was encouraging to learn. Being at CIM, I realized that radio ministry is a bit of a different kind of ministry from other things that I've been involved in. I've helped with youth groups a little bit here and there, and there I get to have interaction with the people, you get to talk one-on-one with them, but in radio ministry you kind of just throw the message out there and hope that people are going to be listening. You hope that God will be using the ministry there, so you don't necessarily see the results and we don't get to interact with the people, but God's been showing me that still it's a very valuable and it's a very needed kind of ministry. I've also been learning that ministry isn't only about work. It's very easy for me to get into a work or task-oriented mindset, but I think God's been showing me that ministry needs to flow out of my relationship with Him. It's not something that I should just sign up to do because I feel obligated, but really, because of our relationship with Him, because of what He's done in our lives, that's why we need to be involved in ministry to some degree, in sharing our faith with others. And another thing that I've been able to learn this summer at CIM is a little bit more about how to listen, and not just listening to the radio or listening to people, but listening to God. And that's been a good challenge for me. It struck me the similarities between listening to God and listening to the radio. At CIM, we're sending out the message, we're sending out the gospel of Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as long as no one cuts the internet cables and transmission goes down. But, you know, we're trying to send out that message all across the county and in a bunch of different towns in different parts of Alberta. We're sending out that message. We have connections with local churches. We have signs along the highway telling what the frequencies are so people can listen. We have a website. So we're trying to send a message out. But even though we're sending that message out constantly, it still is up to the individual to decide to listen. We can't force the person to listen to the radio. We can't force them to take in that message. And it kind of struck me that it's probably similar to my relationship with God. I'm sure that He's sending out messages. He's sending out a broadcast, so to speak, my way almost every day and quite often. But I'm pretty sure that often I miss that, because I'm not willing to listen in, I'm not willing to tune in. And that kind of struck me about how much do I listen to God and how should I listen to God. And that's actually what I'd like to talk about today in the sermon. We'll be taking a look at John chapter 10, where Jesus uses an illustration from the sheep pen, talking about sheep and how we are like sheep. Now, we might wonder why we should take a lesson from sheep, because sheep can seem like pretty dumb animals, actually. They're not the smartest. There's a story in 2006 in eastern Turkey. There was a sheep that decided it wanted to walk off the edge of a gorge. So it fell over this cliff and died. And the Turkish shepherds, they had just left the herd to eat some breakfast, and they were shocked as they watched 1,500 other sheep follow this one sheep and jump off the cliff. About 450 of the sheep died, but the other sheep, they ended up living because they had a pretty soft landing once the pile got that big. But, you know, sheep, they follow each other, even if it's not a good idea. And they give in to peer pressure, and that would be their downfall. But so in that way, we don't want to be like sheep. But one way that we do want to be like sheep, one way that we that Jesus teaches us about how we should be kind of like the sheep, is in the fact that they listen. They listen extremely well. That's what we want to talk about we want to look at in John. Because as humans, we don't always listen very well. I know I have a bit of this strange tendency. I'm sure that there's some other guys that have the problem too. But when I'm talking with my wife, Valine, I can be looking straight at her. Everything would indicate that I'm listening to her. I have my eyes on her. I'm looking at her. I can see that her lips are moving. I can even hear words coming out of her mouth. And every once in a while, I kind of nod in agreement. But I'm 1,000 miles away. You know, I could be cruising up the side of a mountain on a snowmobile. I could be playing hockey or anything. It looks like I'm listening, but really I'm far off. So, you know, normally I'm not that tricky. She kind of notices and snaps me out of it. But we aren't always very good at listening, and we can learn to listen better. And especially if we want to have a relationship with someone, if we want to communicate, then we need to learn how to listen. There has to be two-way communication there. So let's take our Bibles and let's go to John chapter 10, and we'll read from verses 1 to 5. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So I want to take a quick look at the first two verses there in John chapter 10, where we realize that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's the rightful leader of his flock. The sheep pen was basically meant to protect the sheep. It wasn't the big pasture that we understand now that was fenced in. It was just meant to protect the sheep at night from predators and from other thieves. So then when Jesus is talking about the thief coming in to steal and destroy, it's someone who's kind of sneaking in the back way. And when you have the picture of a thief, it's someone who's dishonest. It's someone who is someone who's selfish, underhanded. They're trying to sneak in to that sheep fence because they want to get the sheep. They want to steal what's not rightfully theirs. And Jesus here in this chapter, he was talking to some Jews. He was talking to some Pharisees. Just a little bit earlier, he had healed a man that was born blind. And this man had gone to the Pharisees, and they had discussed it, and they had actually kicked him out of the synagogue because he believed that Jesus was sent from God. So Jesus had found this blind man, and he was talking with the blind man and some Pharisees and some other Jews there. So they would have, when he was talking about these false teachers, or sorry, when he was talking about these thieves entering the sheep pen, he was really talking about a false teacher or someone who's trying to mislead the flock, because the flock stands for God's people, the people that Jesus came to save. And so these Pharisees, I'm sure, would have kind of been feeling the sting, would have been feeling pointed at by this as well. But Jesus is saying that some people, false prophets and teachers, have come to steal and mislead his flock. But the shepherd of the sheep isn't like the thief. He doesn't try to sneak in the back way. He doesn't have to be underhanded. He just walks straight up to the gate because they're his sheep. He has the right. He has the right to lead. And this is what Jesus did when he came to earth as well. He didn't deceive people. He didn't try to make up stories about himself. He was legitimately the Christ. He was sent by God. And he had proof of that. In the Old Testament, we have some prophecy in Ezekiel. If you want to turn there to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 22 to 23. And here, this is after the time of David, so the reference of David would actually be to God sending the Messiah. In Ezekiel 34, verse 22, "I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd." So there's prophecies along with this. There's lots of other prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Christ coming for his sheep, coming for his people. And even in John chapter 10, Jesus talks a little bit later more about the fact that God has given him these sheep. He's given them these people. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples and thanking God, the Father, that he has given the disciples to Christ. In Mark chapter 15, at the story of Jesus' crucifixion, there's a centurion there who, when he witnesses the crucifixion, he realizes and says that surely this man was the Son of God. And even in Jesus' baptism and in the transfiguration, there was the voice of God the Father speaking out, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So Jesus wasn't a thief. He wasn't trying to sneak in the back way. He was sent by the Father. He was the rightful leader of his people. But still the Pharisees didn't listen. Even though they would have known these prophecies, even though they would have seen lots of his miracles, they didn't want to believe that he was actually the Christ. They wouldn't follow him. But the blind man that he had healed actually did follow him. He believed that, yes, this is Jesus. So what does that mean for us then? Well, we know that if someone's our leader, then we obviously listen to them, right? I was working hauling concrete the last two summers, and my supervisor was someone that I needed to listen to. We didn't always start work at the same time each day, so at the end of a day, he would say, "Tomorrow you have to be in at such and such a time." So if he would be telling me that I have to be in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm staring at him blankly, not listening to a word he says, and I show up at 8 o'clock the next morning, that would be bad news. So people that are in authority, our leaders, we need to listen to them. And it's the same way with Christ. He is the Messiah. He was sent by God to be our leader. And I believe this passage is showing us that we need to listen to him because he's our shepherd. Take a quick look at verse 3 of chapter 10 there. And in verse 3, it's really, really encouraging because we realize that he is our leader, he's our shepherd, and he wants a close relationship with us. He doesn't just want to have people that are acquaintances. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us, one where we listen to him. Verse 3 says, "The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." So here we have Jesus calling his sheep. He's talking to his sheep. And a couple little facts about sheep. We realize from the first story that they don't have good depth perception if they walk off a cliff. But sheep, they can recognize faces, actually. Apparently they can recognize a human face for up to 2 years. They can know who the person is. And they also have super good hearing. They can learn to respond to their own name, and they can learn to recognize their shepherd's voice just by the tone of voice or by certain whistles or certain sounds that the shepherd makes. They learn to become familiar with the shepherd. But that takes time for the sheep to develop. Obviously, they wouldn't cling to a shepherd like that the first day they meet him. And I think it's the same way with us in our relationship with Christ. When we first become Christians, we may not be entirely familiar with Christ's voice, but the more time that we actually spend with him, the more familiar we'll become with him, the more easily we can recognize his voice when he is talking to us. In the second part of verse 3 there, it says that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So what does it mean that he gives names to the sheep? Well, I think it's an indicator that he wants intimacy. He has some sort of relationship with the sheep. He doesn't just punch an ear tag in their ear with a number on them and tell them to keep their corner of the fence, keep the grass short. It's the same with us people. He doesn't just want us to do certain work and say that we're his. He wants to actually know us and have some sort of relationship together. And that kind of relationship requires listening, just like between my wife and I, that we need to be talking and listening. You can take, for example, my relationship with Ron McLean. But you didn't know I knew Ron McLean. But from fall till spring, every single Saturday night, I can spend the whole evening with Ron McLean. I can listen to him talk for hours. He's talking about hockey stats, games that are happening, scores, talking about what the players did wrong, talking about his predictions. He could even tell me about his family, what he likes to do in his time off. He could tell me his favorite color. But if I were to meet him in a mall, he wouldn't have the foggiest clue about who I am. You know, we don't really know each other. Even though I've listened to him for so long, there's no relationship there. And in a similar way, we need to be able to listen to God. So often I find it easy to just go to God and do all the talking, not do any of the listening. But if we don't listen, then we have to wonder how much of a relationship we're trying to have. And so the more that we listen, the more familiar we will become with Christ, the more we'll get to know him. So how can we listen? It's a bit of a vague, kind of a hard thing to describe. You can't really nail it down. This is how you listen. You follow this magic formula. But it's more of something that we need to learn, that we need to develop. And in Scripture, I think there's a few ways outlined that we can begin to listen to God. I think a good place to start is to make time. We need to make time for God. Psalm 46:10 says that, or God is saying, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, if we're busy, if we're always constantly running, if we're constantly in a hurry, it's kind of hard to listen to God then. And I think God does want more than just a drive-through relationship. It's easy for me to drive up to the window, to the spiritual window, and throw in my order, try to do a little bit of payment, and then get my food and get out of there. But I think really God does want more than just a drive-through relationship. He wants us to actually come on inside and sit down together. Let's share a meal. Let's talk. So we need to make time each day if we're going to try to listen. We're not going to hear God very well if we're always in a big hurry. And we know that that throughout the Bible, God did speak to certain men. He spoke to Moses and to Samuel and to Paul. He spoke to them verbally. They could hear a clear voice. And sometimes we really do look for that. We would really like to hear God's voice in that way. But even for these men, that wasn't something that happened every day. And I don't think we should be looking for that as the norm. God can definitely still do that. He's powerful. He can still talk to us in that way. But maybe that isn't the norm that we have to be looking for. There's maybe more subtle ways that God does speak to us and that we can listen. And I think one is through his creation. Let's go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. It reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." God's creation is constantly speaking out to us, telling us different things about God. When I see a rainbow, do I take time to think back to Noah, to think why God gave us the rainbow, that he's faithful and is in keeping his promises? When I'm lying on my back at night, just looking up in the sky, seeing millions and millions of stars, do I let it sink in, the greatness of God and his glory? You know, I think in a very real way, God's creation can speak to us and we can listen to God through that. God's also given us Christian teachers and Christian leaders that he speaks through. The whole New Testament was written by men who were inspired by God. And in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus sends them out to baptize, to make disciples, and to teach people. And I think still today, God is using people to speak to his other children. We come to church every Sunday because we hope that God will speak to us through other people, through his word. And programs on CIM that we can listen to. Just do a little plug for CIM. You know, there's lots of good programs. Lots of good programs where people can share God's word with us, can share about God, and we can listen to our Lord through that. And God's also given us the Holy Spirit that he speaks through. Sometimes sometimes that has seemed a little vague in my mind. You know, how do I know if the Holy Spirit is speaking to me? What does the Holy Spirit do in my life? But in John chapter 16, verse 15, we have a bit of a description of what the Holy Spirit does. That's John chapter 16, verse 15. Here Jesus is saying, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." The Holy Spirit teaches us things. It teaches us truth about Christ. He helps us to learn. Like Kevin was saying, the Wiccan lady who said she's read the Bible before but didn't make any sense to her. Once we become Christians, we're believers in Christ, then the Holy Spirit works in us and helps us to understand more about God. It teaches us about God. And if you want to do some more reading on the Holy Spirit, John 14, chapters 14 to 16, there's some really great descriptions of what the Holy Spirit does. You know, he can bring thoughts to our mind. He can convict us of our sin. He can speak through our, sometimes we understand it as speaking through our conscience. Sometimes we might describe it as the still small voice, the voice of God, you know, the heart pounding, I got to do this, or the voice in the back of my head saying, I should really go talk to this person. You know, the Holy Spirit is active in us Christians, and we need to and we can listen for His voice, for God's voice through that. And another very, very concrete and practical way that I think God talks to us is through the Bible, through His Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God has chosen to instruct us and teach us, and He's basically given us a love letter in the Scriptures. And if we spend time reading the Bible, if we spend time in the Scripture, then we can begin to listen to God more. We can learn the voice of our Shepherd in the pages of Scripture. So let's go on to to the fourth and fifth verses of John 10. So we've seen that Jesus is our Shepherd. He's our rightful leader. And that He wants a relationship with us, He wants to communicate with us, He wants us to listen. I think in the next verses we see that a listening sheep is going to follow. If we're listening to Christ, He wants us to follow Him. I'll start reading in verse 4 of chapter 10. "When He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." So once the shepherd has come into the pen, he'll take the sheep, his sheep, out from the rest of the sheep there, and he'll take them out to water, to food, or to rest. But he needs to separate them. They need to follow him. And Jesus would have been talking to the Jews here. He would have been, they would understand what he was talking about with separating. The blind man had been separated from the rest of the Jews because he was of Jesus' flock. He knew that Jesus was the rightful leader, so he decided to follow Jesus and leave the traditional Jewish way of life, the way that God had instructed them in the law in the Old Testament. And so Jesus was separating his people from the rest of the world. But not all the people there would have heard him. They wouldn't have understood what he's talking about because they weren't his. They weren't of his flock. And I think there's some good application for us. As we didn't hear from God before we became Christians, before we were one of His children, at least not in the same way that we do now. If we want to hear from God, we have to be part of His flock. First, we have to be one of His children. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's the right, that He's the Savior, and we have to believe in His death, His resurrection. We have to have offered our lives to Him, and only then are we going to begin to hear consistently from our Lord. Only then will we recognize His voice and begin to follow Him like the sheep follow their shepherd. I found an interesting story about that kind of outlines how well sheep can listen and how well they follow their leader. Arab shepherds are known for knowing their sheep quite personally. And during a Palestinian uprising in the late 1980s, something I can't really remember, but the Israeli army decided to punish a village near Bethlehem for not paying its taxes. The officer in command rounded up all the village animals and placed them in a large barbed wire pen. Later in the week, he was approached by a woman who begged him to release her flock, arguing that since her husband was dead, the animals were her only source of livelihood. He pointed to the pen containing hundreds of animals and mockingly said that it's impossible. He couldn't find her animals. She asked that if she could, in fact, separate them herself, would he be willing to let her take them? He agreed. So a soldier opened the gate, and the woman's son took out a small flute. He played a simple tune again and again, and soon sheepheads began popping up all over the sheep pen. The young boy continued his music and walked home, followed by 25 of his mother's sheep. So these sheep could pick out the little tune, and they recognized it. They realized, that's our shepherd. Gotta go. You know, the sheep heard the voice, and they followed. And I think we need to do that as well in our relationship with God. As we hear his voice, as we realize him teaching us things, we need to be willing to follow. We need to be willing to obey. Because Jesus doesn't just want to talk to us. He doesn't just want us to hear his voice and say, okay, yeah, I hear you talking. He wants it to result in some action. He wants us to follow him. So what we can ask ourselves some questions. What do we do when we hear Jesus, or when we hear God speak to us? When we read in Scripture, when God is telling us that he hates gossip, he hates slander, he hates sexual immorality, are we willing to leave that way of life and follow him? When God might be telling someone to leave their job, to do something else, to spend more time with their family, or to be a little more involved in service, are we willing to make that change? Are we willing to listen and follow? When the Holy Spirit is telling us, or kind of prompting us, you know, I should really go and share the gospel with this person, I should share about Jesus with this person, are we willing to follow that? Or do we like to make up excuses because we don't feel competent? You know, I think like sheep following their shepherd, when we hear God's voice, we need to be willing to follow. Because the shepherd knows what the sheep need. The shepherd realizes there's food over here, the sheep are running out of food here, I need to get them there. So if the sheep follow him, they're going to get what they need. God is our shepherd, Jesus is our shepherd, and he knows exactly what we need. He knows where he needs to take us, where we need to be. So are we willing to listen to his voice and to follow him? At the later part of this verse, Jesus also reminds us that we need to be careful in who we listen to, because there's going to be false teachers. He says that the sheep, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So the sheep, they run away from a shepherd, kind of like a small child. When a stranger walks up to them with a big bushy beard and long hair, they may think, wow, he's scary. Or even if he has short hair and a short goatee, they often think he's scary. And they're going to run to their mom and dad's leg. They're going to grab their leg and hold on because they know this is safe here. When we're confronted with different voices in the world, what do we do? Do we turn away from the strange voices and turn to our shepherd? Do we follow Christ, or do we look back longingly at the voices that are all around us in the world? And there's lots of different voices telling us what to do. There's pressures to give in to greed and coveting, for materialism. There's a lot of pressures for sexual immorality. There's a lot of pressures for substance abuse. There's pressures to gossip. And this false teaching can even make its way into the church sometimes. That's where we have to be careful and be aware of what God is teaching us through the scriptures. But, you know, we have to be careful in what voice we hear. And when we come to know our shepherd, we know his voice, then when he speaks, we're going to follow him and turn away from strangers as well. So in the passage in John 10 here, we can see that Jesus is our rightful leader. He's the one we need to listen to, and that he truly desires a close relationship with us, one where we communicate with him, where we spend time together with him, and where we follow him. So kind of like I mentioned earlier, maybe it's a bit like the radio. Maybe God is sending us messages regularly all through the day, and I need to learn to tune in. I need to learn to slow down and listen for his voice. And I hope and pray that each of us can begin or to grow in pursuing a close and a real relationship with Jesus, where we talk with him, where we listen to him, spend time together with him. as our shepherd. And I'd like to leave you with a verse from Revelation chapter 3. And it's a verse that has been used for a call to salvation. When we read the passage, we see that Jesus is talking here to Christians, actually. He's talking to people in the church, people that have kind of forgotten their first love, or people that are not in a pursuing a relationship with him. And he's giving an invitation for relationship, for closeness. So I'd like to leave you with Revelation 3, verse 20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much that we can call you Father, that you know us each as individuals, and that you long for relationship with us. I pray that you would help us each in the continuing days, in the following days here, to listen for your voice, to look for where you're at work, to try and notice when you're trying to call us, Lord. Help us to be responsive and to follow you, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.